Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. If you have a Bible there in your pew and you want to turn to that, and we could take a look at it together. We've been going through the book of Isaiah, and each week God has given us a rich message from his word to encourage us and to give us a sense of joy and expectation. Today is the candle of love, and it reminds us of that great love that you hear in the scripture was already read from the beginning, the call to worship, that the love of God lasts forever. And that's really the biggest thing that is in the message of the gospel, that God's love never ends. It never ends, and we can depend upon it. But I was going to, I learned that the children were going to go downstairs during the response. They won't be here to sing that song with us for the response song. I changed the order a little bit so that we could all sing it and they could take part in that, you know. But what I wanted to actually share with the children today, and I can share with you now, is that God keeps his promises. Amen. Have you ever had someone break their promise to you and how that feels? You know, you get disappointed in life. You know, we always feel like we can make promises and then something might come up, or, you know, we forget, or something happens in our own lives, so we're not able to keep that promise. But that's the grace of God that comes in those moments in our lives, because we're not God. You know, he comes in with his grace and he forgives us. He restores us. He gives us a sense of it's going to be all right. You know, I know that you didn't mean to do that. You know, and we practice that with each other as well. You know, the best that we can. If someone hurts us, we learn through our Bible teaching and through what God says to us through his Holy Spirit, that we are to forgive and to restore people so that there isn't this war going on right between us. That's what Christ coming is all about, bringing that peace so that we have that restoration of a sense of love between ourselves. And that all comes from Jesus. It all comes from his love for us through the gospel. What I'd like to do is just go over some of the scripture today in Isaiah and then read a couple of scriptures in the New Testament that reflect that promise, the fulfillment of that promise. And so that we can really take in the words of God today and be reminded of his promise. And then the other big part of that is that God is calling us to faith. To having faith in waiting, having faith in that promise being fulfilled, right? And I think we were talking about that last week, that there's this patience that we have while enduring, because God is at work. He is there and he is fulfilling his promises to us, but we are impatient and we think, why not right when I want it? And how come it's not here yet? But the Bible reassures us that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. And we're going to see that in this scripture today in Isaiah. And so really this chapter in Isaiah, before we get to the verse that is so well known talking about Jesus, it's about a king named Ahaz. And King Ahaz. And King Ahaz has gotten word that there are two powers that are led by two other kings that are going to be joining together to rise up against his kingdom, against the kingdom of Judah, right? The Syrian king and the Israelite king. Believe it or not, the Israelite king of Ephraim was one of the ones that was planning to go up against the people in Jerusalem, the people of Judah. And when Ahaz heard that, and when the people heard that they were going to be doing that, they were struck with fear, right? And it's something that you and I probably can relate to. We hear something terrible is happening, and it strikes fear in us. But listen to the words of what God says to Ahaz through Isaiah in verse 4. He says, "Be careful, be quiet. Do not fear and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands." Those are the two kings, the two powers that are rising up together. So again, he says, be careful, right? The Germans say, pass auf. It's like, watch out, be careful. Okay. It doesn't mean that you have to, be afraid, but it just means be careful and hear that to do what? To be quiet before God, not to fear them, and don't let your heart be faint. And those are good words for us today, aren't they? Right? We've been hearing that actually a lot. Do not be afraid. And that's one of the biggest teachings of the Bible, is do not be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. Because God is in control. And that brings us into the realm of faith. How is God in control when we see so many things happening around us? Well, that's exactly what Ahaz and the people of Judah were saying. There's all these things that are going on. What do you mean I'm not to be afraid? Well, that's when we get into the faith aspect that God is calling Ahaz to. I know what you've heard. I know what those two kings are planning, but I am your God. Right? And so we want to reflect on that as Christians in our lives to say, okay, we see these things that are threats, but God is still God. And he told us here in the scripture, do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands. They're smoldering already even before they're approaching what they want to do, because God is great and he is going to snuff out, just like a candle, their power and their plans. And this is the message that Ahaz receives as the king. God says before, again, we're going to get to the scripture today, but just before that, the Lord God says, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. And listen to this, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Can we remember these words as well today? We just heard, be careful, be quiet before the Lord, be still, don't get upset, don't be afraid, do not fear, don't let your heart be faint because of these two. Do you have a situation in your life right now where you are anticipating something in fear of that thing happening? Then God is saying, I am the Lord. Trust in me in these things. Come to me, pray to me. Ask me what you need to do, and I will reveal myself to you. That is what the Bible promises. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Faith is what God is calling us to in these times that we live in, right? Faith is what we are living in. We need faith in these times. On Friday, if you can come on Friday, I hope that you will. We're going to be talking about how God can remind us that he cares for us in these times that we're living in, and that we can show our faith by expressing that and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to people at this time. You sitting here today, all of us here today, are given the honor of taking the word of God and bringing it to people who don't know about him, and reminding them that they do not need to fear, that there is a God who loves them and cares for them, right? So I hope that you'll come on Friday night and bring a friend that you think may need to hear that message. If you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. So be firm in faith. Right? Faith is the way that we live, right? You won't be firm at all. You can try, but you won't, right? And so that's what this message is to King Ahaz. And so we get into the scripture from today. And it says again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God and let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. So God goes to Ahaz and he says to him, and he sees a man who's afraid, and he sees a man who's hearing all of these things that are going on, and his people are afraid, and he hears this threat is coming, and he says to him, ask me for a sign and I'll give it to you. So I can reassure you of what is going to happen, of that you can trust me, that you can know that I'm with you. And Ahaz, in his unbelief and his unfaithfulness, says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. And so he's drawing on an earlier scripture to back himself up in this. But in fact, he is actually saying, no, I won't. I won't ask you for a sign. I have another plan I'm going to look into, and I'm going to follow that, and I'm not going to have faith in God. Right? And so he stands up to God and says, no, I won't ask you for a sign. And then he makes up an excuse and tries to make it sound good by saying, I won't put the Lord to the test. But the Lord is saying, I want you to ask me for a sign. And so God would not be saying, you know, I don't want you to test me. I'm telling you, I want to give you a sign. So do that. And he said, hear then, O house of David. And he refers to him as the house of David because he is of the royal line of King David that came before him, right? He refers to him the house of David because it was from David's line that his people had come. And he speaks to him in that way because he had made a promise to him through David's promise that his kingdom would be lasting forever, right? Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? God is being wearied by the fact that he is not showing faith, that he is saying, no, I want to go my own way. It's interesting that God is wearied by our lack of faith, right? It's a very personal kind of a God. He says, I have the best in mind for you, and I know that this is going to be the best for your people. And he says, no, I'm not going to give you, I'm not going to ask you for a sign. I'm just going to do things my own way. And so this should also remind us that we need to be submissive to God's word to us. If you're running away from God, then today would be a good day to return to him and say, Lord, I will listen to what you have to say for me because I know it's the best thing for me. And I know that you alone can do that. And so what does God do? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. He doesn't give up on Ahaz, does he? He says, okay, you're telling me this. And God could have said, okay, we'll forget you. He says, all right, then in that case, I will give you a sign. And what a wonderful sign it is. It's the most beautiful sign that he could ever have given. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that is the sign. And we believe as Christians, and we'll be reading this in the scripture in just a moment in the New Testament, that that child that was promised, Emmanuel, was Jesus Christ, who is to come many, many years after, right, the time of Ahaz. But that was the sign that he was going to give to him. And this would have been very meaningful for Ahaz as one in the royal line of David, because he would recall that David was also promised that he was the line from which Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, would come into eternity, not only just in this world, but into eternity. Right? And so Ahaz was being reassured and being reminded of this, but he's also given this word and this name, Emmanuel, that the child would be, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. And he shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. And the Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. And so God is making this promise upon the coming of his son. He's telling him this is going to be coming, yes, in the future. But I'm telling you now so that you can claim this truth and depend upon me now. I want you to act now in faith, knowing that I am going to be sending my son, Jesus Christ. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. So I want to ask you today, brothers and sisters, what does it mean to you personally? And you can respond. What does it mean to know that God is with us? Sorry, louder, please. Such comfort. Okay. Anyone else? What does it mean that God is with us? Amen. Anyone else? Don't be shy. In the Lichan. He understands what we're going through. Amen. Anyone else? That God is with us. What does that mean? Maybe you want to wait till the discussion time afterwards. It's okay. He protects us. Amen. That's for Ahaz, right? He's telling him these two kings are going to be smoldering, you know, wicks. They're just going to be smoldering. Nothing is going to happen. He says, no, I'm going to come up with another plan. All right. So he says, well, I'm going to give you a sign to show you that you can trust me in this. And I want you to obey what I say. I'm going to send my son and he's going to come from heaven. He's going to be showing the world that God is with the people of every nation, that they can look to him for this hope, that he's there for us, that he wants to help us in our time of need. But most of all, he was sending him as a savior, right? To die for our sins and to take care of the biggest problem that we have so that we would not die but have eternal life. And that's what the gospel is. Let me read you a couple of scriptures here. First of all, in Matthew, and this is one of the lectionary readings for today, from chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, catch that? Son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, which means to save. The Savior had come, and it had come in fulfillment of the prophecy of that he had spoken from the Lord to Ahaz at the time of this reading that we had today. Now, what that means is that God keeps his promises. And we see it very clearly here that God keeps his promises. How does that relate to us? That means when we have something in our minds or in our hearts or in our lives that is challenging us, especially our sin, when we have done something against God and we feel like we really have failed, then we draw upon the promise of God that he sent his son Jesus into the world. He was born to a virgin named Mary, and he died for our sins so that we would be forgiven and given eternal life. And that is the meaning of Christmas, that there was a fulfillment of this prophecy and that God sent his son into the world, where this earth that we walk upon, and to show us that God is with us. Now, you know, there are many people in the world that feel that God is far away because they see so many things that are going on in the world that are terrible things. But the Bible promises us that God is still with us. And what we really need to do in those moments is draw near to him, to have faith in those moments and to trust in him. And we draw upon his promise keeping being fulfilled here in instances like this and all through the Bible, to see that he is true to his word, right? So that is really what the crux of the promise is. Now, let me read you another verse in Romans. This is from Paul. And of course, Paul was a man who was trying to kill Christians, and Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him and told him that he was going to use him to spread the gospel to all nations. And Paul writes this in his greeting to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who is descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations, and including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. All through this scripture, we see and we hear this consistency of God's message to us, right? That it's from the line of David, that God made this promise. Yes, there were going to be kings like Ahaz who fell short of what it meant to be a king in the kingdom of God. But God's promise was greater than the failure of Ahaz. And God's promise is greater than our failures. There is nothing that we can do of our own powers to save ourselves from failure and from sin, but Christ is. And the coming of Christ into this world was to show us firsthand that Jesus Christ, coming as a baby, right? He came into the world as a baby to humble himself, right? For God. Can you imagine? Think about it for a moment, that God is creating all of the heavens and the earth. And this is all found in Genesis, right? And then he forms man from the dust, and he takes a rib from the man and he forms woman, right? And then he tells them to multiply and be fruitful, right? And we are coming out of our mother's womb in the same way, right? We, a man and a woman come together and they form a life in that kind of a way. And that's from God's plan, right? But Jesus Christ became a baby. He was not, it wasn't through Joseph, right? It was through the Holy Spirit seed in Mary. But he came into the world and came from his mother's womb as a baby. Can you imagine what he was doing there? Can you imagine the impact of that? That God himself, who brought life into this world, became a baby and was born in this kind of a way. We have to take that in at this time to think of God, what a wonderful God we have who would do that. And to show us that he was willing to experience everything that we experience here in this life. To grow up as a boy under the watch of his parents. Right. But also going to the temple to read the scriptures and to know God the Father in that kind of a way as a boy on this earth. And then going to the cross for our sins and dying a painful death because he was truly a man. He was truly the Son of God and truly man, but he suffered for us so that we would not have to suffer for our sins. He rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit's power at work in him to bring him from the grave, and he ascended into heaven and he's returning. So do we have faith in this Jesus today? That is God's question for us. We want to ponder this question. And also, are we waiting for his return? Do we have the faith? We know from the scriptures and we see that Jesus did indeed come in fulfillment of those scriptures. And we see it in the life of Paul. And he describes it in this way, right? Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy concerning his son who descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness in his resurrection, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. And so that is what our part is here. To be as witnesses of Christ and as people who know this truth in him. To be that those who go into the world and bring the gospel to many nations. Our church supports a large number of missionaries who have been called by God to go into different parts of the world. We have someone in Brooklyn. We have three college students who, after graduating from college, gave their commitment to God to continue on in student work, in mission work on the campuses in this area, right? If you don't know them, I sent out a newsletter this week, and all of their requests are on there, right? We have Gordon Law, who comes from Hong Kong and he speaks Hebrew and learned the Hebrew language. Why? Because God called him to go to the Jewish people in Brooklyn and tell them that their Messiah had come in Jesus Christ. God works in amazing ways, right? We have Esther Tseng, who is in a country that I can't mention here because we're supposed to keep that safe for her because she's in an area where there is a danger, right? But she is at work in this place. A woman who came from the main church in Chinatown and felt God's calling, and she left everything behind, including a daughter who gave birth to a baby while she was there, and she's there now, and she is going into a refugee camp and is preaching the gospel to the refugees there. Why? Because they don't have any hope. And because they need to know of the hope that God cares for them. And Esther Tseng is that person God sent into the place to be that hope, to show them. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He came into the world. He came into this place where there is grave danger. And he died a terrible death for you and for me. And that is exactly what these missionaries and what you and I are called to do. Right? We are to see that there is a need in the world for help from Jesus alone. And God calls us to that, right? One of the things that we could do, you know, you may be thinking, I don't know if I'm called to full-time ministry, but you could be called to do a short-term mission trip. Esther has invited our church members to come over there and to see what she's doing. And she would like to see someone come, and if they feel called by God, to continue on with her in that area to do that, right? What an amazing thing that would be, right? But she's doing it. And so we could send a team there, right, to help the people there in the area where she is serving. They had rejected. We were learning about the Muslim people in our Sunday school, and Esther was saying that she was hoping to be able to tell the children in this one area, not in the refugee camp, but another area there that were Muslim, of the Muslim faith, about Jesus at the time of Christmas so that they could learn about Christmas. And the parents learned about it, and they came over. And they said, we're taking our children home. We don't want them to hear about Christmas. We don't want them to hear about Jesus as a savior. And so they took them away. Something similar happened in Jesus in the Park to us. We had a group of parents who came and the children left because we were talking about Jesus. But this is the frustrating thing for her, right? She wants to spread the gospel. She wants them to know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, but they have another faith. And so she's facing great obstacles there, right? Christianity is facing obstacles in the world because people reject Jesus. And that is what happened, as we see in the Gospels, that Jesus was killed in hopes of putting an end to him and all of this supposed of being the savior and the king of the world. But he was greater than all of their objections, and even death itself had no hold on him, right? So God is stirring in us, in our church also, in this time, the desire to be missional, to be those kind of people that say, we have received the good news, and so we want to share it, right? You can do it in different ways, and God gives us many gifts to be able to express those things, and we've talked about that, right? And so this is a very powerful, powerful scripture that we have in Isaiah today that reminds us of God being with us. And we don't take it for granted, right? We don't take it for granted. We worship God and we give him all the glory in all of these things. If you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Where is God speaking to your heart today in faith? What is he asking you to do that you are saying, Lord, I don't want to give you a sign. I'd rather just do things my own way. Trust him. Trust him with your life. Ask him to come into that situation. He is with you. He's with us, right? And so we want to do those kind of things. It's the most powerful, powerful message in all of the Bible, right? And it came to this king when he was terribly afraid And he had terrible things going on around him and felt threatened, and his people were feeling threatened. But God called him to faith based on his steadfast love, based on his steadfast love. Let me read the words again just to end today as we come to the close of the sermon, to read you again what was read for the Advent candle here, and also at the beginning from Psalm 89. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits. I will wait for the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will wait upon him. And in his word, I hope. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen for the morning, more than the watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We have a redeemer. We were learning about the redeemer in Jesus Christ, right? He is our hope, right? And then we return to Psalm 89, a great psalm that is associated with these verses in Isaiah today. We had these read at the beginning. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. This is not a person saying, I'll love you forever. This is God saying, I am going to love you forever. And that means forever, never ending. I'm not just saying this in this time that you're here on this earth, listening to me and reading your Bibles. I am talking about after you're gone from this world and you're with me forever. I will love you forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. With my mouth, I will make known. Can we do that, brothers and sisters? Can we pray to the Holy Spirit and begin to pray really, really with passion? Lord, help us to make known with our mouths your faithfulness to all generations. Right. We have different generations represented in our church, and we can reach the people in our own generation, but we also reach those who are coming up in the generation that is younger than we are. And then it goes on after we are gone. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. And there is that covenant promise. I have sworn to my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And this is what Ahaz was aware of and what Isaiah was reminding him of. House of David, and calling him the house of David. Remember that God has called you as a king from the line of David that is going to continue on. And remember that when you fear and you think about things that are going on, to threaten that and know that I am with you. And if you're not going to ask me for a sign, I'm going to give you the sign, which is my son, the promise himself, Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, we are lost. But with Jesus Christ, we endure forever. And his steadfast love endures forever in us. Perhaps you have been considering Jesus as your Savior. You've been thinking about accepting him as Lord. Perhaps you have been putting it off, or perhaps you have been thinking, you know, I need to know more. God has clearly shown us today in his word that he sent his son Jesus into the world to die for you and for me, to die for our sins. And all he asks is that we receive it. Will you receive that today? I'm going to say a prayer. And if you feel so led to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come forward. Okay? And we can pray together. I don't just mean me, that we can all pray together. But all of us who have known Christ as Savior have that experience, right? It's that moment where God is calling us. But if you feel that you're being led to this place where you know that you can't live without him, that you can't live without his truth, without the forgiveness of his sins, then please come forward as I pray, and let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful scripture of hope. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to learn this lesson of faith, that all we need to do is receive you, Lord, into our hearts, to receive Jesus as our Savior, and our lives will be secure forever. It is only you who love us the way you intended from all time. We pray, God, that if there's anyone here today that has been away from you or has never given you their life, Lord, that today would be the day that they would say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I need your forgiveness and I want to follow you. I'm tired of the life that I've been leading apart from you, and I need your light in my life. I just pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless us in this congregation, Lord, that you will speak to us and remind us that we would lift up our voices and proclaim Jesus Christ to every nation. We pray, God, all these